So coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 Keough Way in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie, here today at Smoky Row Coffee Shop with entrepreneur Dmitry Makodunsky. Dmitry grew up in Northeast Iowa. After serving as an Army paratrooper and earning his communications and marketing degree in Colorado, he came back to his home state. Yay for us. Dmitry's story is one of embracing architecture, visual art, cuisine, and branding to give a small town a thriving business and new awareness. So while exploring Iowa by motorcycle in the early 2000s, Dmitry spied the abandoned Ladora Savings Bank, a regal structure in a town of 230-plus population. He spent 4 years renovating, developing a destination wine bar, and now with a new facelift completed, he's reopening as Caucus Bistro, featuring the photographic and culinary arts to reflect the engagement and stature of Iowa's political signature event. So Dmitry, this is a completely different model of community building than we've talked about this podcast in the past. We've talked a lot about Mainframe, and this is clearly the arts are engaged here in a number of different ways, but you're taking a piece that was maybe on the outs, a piece of structure that was having some struggles, and working in a very small community.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about how the arts were used to engage with the community and how this whole kind of experiment in community building is going.
Well, you're right. It's an interesting way of trying to develop more community and more arts in the community. The bank itself, the Ladora Savings Bank, was built in 1920 in this tiny little town of Ladora. Back in the 20s, that town had a population of about 900 people. There were actually three banks in the town and an opera house in the town. Now the town has about 230 people. Everything's pretty much closed. There's a convenience store, and then, of course, then there's the old bank in Ladora that's still standing. That bank was a what they call classic revival style. Gentleman named Zaleski was the architect on it, and his name's carved right into the stone. Everything about it speaks very much classic revival, Greek architecture, lots of columns and cornices, and the wow factor is incredible. It's called the jewel box style bank.
Yes.
A jewel box style bank basically has the both floors exposed. So when you walk in, you see these grand cornices at 25 feet above your head. And it just has a real, like I said, a real wow factor.
And that's what Grinnell is known for as well,
right,
which you were kind of living in Grinnell at the time you made this discovery.
There was a Louis B. Sullivan Bank in Grinnell that is just magnificent, and I invite people to go see this if they're ever in that area. But yeah, I was living in Grinnell, and I was just traveling to Iowa City on a motorcycle ride, taking the back highway, and I came upon this structure. And when I peered in the windows of this building, which was abandoned pretty much, there were trees literally growing out of the roof of the building. And the root system of one of the trees went all the way down into the basement as I followed it down the steps.
And
wow. So it was just such a magnificent piece of work. And I didn't know where to begin because it was really overwhelming with the condition of this building. But everything, all the parts were there. I mean, it had good bones. And I knew that if I just took the time and did the research, that I could try to preserve it the best I could.
How, at what point was the community of Ladora itself involved in this in any way?
Well, they were involved from the beginning when it comes to just curiosity. Ladora is not a town of great means, and it's a small farming community, and it's in Iowa County. And
can you further geographically locate it for a moment?
I would say it's about halfway between Grinnell and Iowa City, right on Highway 6. From Des Moines, it's about an hour and 20-minute drive. It does have an exit off of the interstate, Interstate 80. It's exit 211 that says Ladora and Millersburg exit. So about an hour and 20 minutes from Des Moines to the front door of the bistro there, or the bank. A lot of the local people had really great stories, and when I was there and I was working on it and basically just doing a lot of cosmetic work, just knocking down overgrowth and trees and weeds around the building and getting rid of varmints in the basement, we had skunks and we had snakes and bats and all
Jeez.
Kinds of things. People would come in and they would nose around and they'd want to know what was going on. These are the local people that lived there their whole lives. and they would tell me about their grandparents, how they would bank their, that their, you know, or their, you know, their great grandfather, great grandmother lost, you know, $4,000 in that bank during the Great Depression, because that bank was open from 1920 to 1931, and it closed in 31 at the height of the Great Depression, and it never reopened again as a bank. And so people lost their entire life savings in that building. But again, there's a lot of fondness in their memories as well.
So if you had gone in there and said, gee, this is a beautiful piece, but it's going to cost me a lot to renovate it, but I've got a good location, I could create something cool that might attract Des Moines or Iowa City folks, as well as being of some potential value to the community of Ladora, why don't I just tear this down, take a few artifacts,
right,
and embrace that. Would you be getting the same kind of success?
Oh, absolutely not. That was, you know, that never even became a consideration. When I came upon the bank, there was this old woman named Lois, and she was 85 years old, and this was in 2004. Her husband had just passed away, and she was settling his estate, and this bank building was part of his estate. And she was really distraught because it had only been a couple weeks that he'd been gone. And she was with her son, who was probably in his 50s. And he was helping his mother go through all of the stuff that Dad had collected over the years, including this bank that, again, was full of stuff. And as I talked to Lois and kind of formed this friendship with her over the weeks, she was interested in possibly selling the building to me. But she was extremely concerned that anybody that buys it better not rip out the antiquity, because again, it's marble walls and floors and brass teller cages and beautiful vault doors and these original chandeliers that hang from the ceiling. And she was afraid that anybody that buys it might just come in and just sell it off piece by piece. And I assured her that I didn't know what I was going to do at the time, but I assured her that would never happen. And what was really great is the opening weekend after 4 years of renovation, Lois and her grandson came to the opening of the bistro, and she was just all welled up, and just, it was really so fun to see her reaction to what I had done with, you know, to creating a new space.
Well, you've had quite a bit of success, both award-winning and that kind of thing, which is great, but also just the standing a bit of the test of time in that you started this project in 2004. Here we are now, 2019.
Yeah.
And you've given it yet a new facelift and a little bit new brand, which we'll talk about in a moment. But as an exercise in community building, how much of that was in the back of your mind as you were actually doing this? Or were you really just kind of going in there as an entrepreneur and recognizing, gee, I need to restore and protect this place for the purposes of being able to make it successful financially over time?
A little bit of both, actually. You know, when I first went in, I was as skeptical of the local people as the local people were of me. And because I always wanted to know what their intention was. And these are the kind of folks that would just walk right in the building. So when I originally bought the building, the notion was I was going to buy it to be my home. I always had this notion or this fantasy of owning an old structure, whether it was an old schoolhouse, a fire station, a bank building, something that was really cool, an old warehouse. And I thought, once my kids get to a certain age and they're off to college, I don't have to worry about school districts. And you know, maybe I can find this neat piece of property. Well, I found it there at the bank, and originally that was going to be my home. And as I was working on it, and as I was on scaffolding inside trying to restore the ceiling, local people would come and go all the time, and I'd have to lock myself in, because to them it was a community center. To them, that bank had been there for almost 100 years, and it was their building. It wasn't my building, it was theirs. I was just somebody in there working on it. And so what I did is I started forming these friendships and relationships with the community and gaining their trust. And in turn, I started trusting them too. And I found a lot of local contractors that knew a lot about the building and were helping me to, a lot of the projects I just didn't want to tackle myself, concrete work or some of the sheetrock work and things that I wanted to make darn sure I wasn't going to hurt the character of the building. These local people came in and they really took ownership in it, because this was their building too. It wasn't just a job for them. They took a lot of pride knowing that they were helping me restore a building that they felt belonged to the community, and I feel belongs to the community as well.
So now that you kind of got to the back end of that restoration effort, which got them engaged because you were respectful, and yet there was this initial mutual skepticism, which
right.
is kind of an interesting thing to think about. As you kind of get on the back end of that, to what extent are they embracing it in its new functions?
Well, it's quite amazing, because this small community of Ladora, there's lots of little towns around it. Like 8 miles away, there's the town of Victor. Another 8 miles in the other direction, the town of Marengo. And what I found, which was really interesting, is that people were meeting in the bank and meeting each other for the first time. People that had grown up in Victor, Iowa, for example, their entire life, and only 8 miles away were meeting people from Ladora they'd never met before. And people in Ladora, which again is only 8 miles away from Marengo, were meeting and becoming friends with people they'd never known. And I thought, some of these, you know, there was a 50-year-old man that comes to mind, and a local, and he developed a friendship. He and his wife developed a friendship with another local couple that lived just a few miles away, but they'd never known each other because in those small communities, the schools at that time were all in those communities. You didn't venture too far from the farm, or you didn't venture too far from your, you know, 10-mile radius of where your life was. And so fast forward now with them coming into the bistro and becoming friends, these people are taking trips together. They go to Maui, they go on cruises, they you know, they're the best of friends now with these couples that they would have never otherwise have met had it not been the catalyst, that bank been the catalyst for them to meet. And so I find that really fascinating. I'm warmed by it. I mean, I think it's really cool that
and you've infused a lot of other features of the artistic realm within this context, not just the architectural piece, but you've brought in to some extent visual arts. You've certainly used this as a music venue. Yeah. And now you've got this new Caucus Bistro.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about why the rebranding and the role of the arts in making this a success and leading to some of these community building pieces you're talking about.
Well, it originally started as the Ladora Bank Bistro, and that ran for 11 years. And over that course of time, there was a chef that joined me as a partner, and then I left. I moved to Des Moines and started another career, and he took over the bistro and ran it for another 5 years. Well, during that 5-year period of time, I always had the notion of possibly opening another bistro, primarily in Des Moines, maybe close to the state capitol, and I was going to call it Caucus, because I thought, wouldn't it be fun that you'd get a lot of state legislators and people that are right up there at the capitol that would come down into the East Village and come to my little venue called Bistro. And I came up with ideas for menu designs, and just I had it all picked out visually in my mind how it was going to look. That being said, my former partner and chef decided he was leaving the bistro. He was going to move on in Ladora. So I was going to find myself here in the course of maybe 8 or 9 months with an empty building if I couldn't find another chef to run the place or buy the place. And as things developed, I just thought, you know what, there's no better place to do Caucus or have that concept of Caucus Bistro than this beautiful old historic building in the middle of farm country. And so I thought, this would be the best time to do it, and that's what we decided. I talked to my wife about it, and she and I had numerous discussions because it is a big sacrifice to go back into the restaurant world, but it's something that I've always dreamt of doing again, and especially with this concept. I can have a lot of fun with the menu. I can get really creative. I got hired a chef from Cedar Rapids recently who's very creative, and he and I are having a lot of fun developing recipes and coming up with fun ideas. We're coming up with themes and different events that'll take place that are surrounded or part of the Iowa Caucus theme. And as far as when you come into the building, there's some really beautiful photos that I was able to acquire of Iowa caucuses of the early days. So I've got pictures of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan and Pat Buchanan and you name it. We've got some fun photos throughout the building. So it's going to be kind of a almost like museum piece, if you will. And the local community is getting extremely excited about it because they want to come in and learn about it and see what's new. So I feel very strongly that the local community is definitely going to be just as engaged as they were with the Ladora Bank Bistro.
So the visual and the culinary arts are clearly playing kind of a critical role in the success of this, in addition to the long-term piece of the architecture that you're talking about. But I also know that you've been using this venue for home ditty concerts and really sort of embracing the musical realm.
Right.
As well. What's the role of that?
Well, you know, that's really interesting. And yeah, the whole appeal of home concerts and live music is definitely going to be something that I'm planning on down the road. What's really interesting about this old bank, and a lot of people aren't aware of, is it has a community center down in the basement that was there for many, many years. And it's just sitting with storage right now. I hope to develop another concept of live music down in the basement of this and bring in performing arts, hopefully in the next couple years.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So you did this because in part it was community building, and in part you're an entrepreneur. What do you see as the potential pitfalls for others who might want to try and imitate this model for community building?
You know, I'm not sure that this model would be successful everywhere. I think where I've gained a lot of success is, number one, it's extremely unique. The building itself, it's only one of maybe seven of these types of structures left in the Midwest. So I get what I call bank nerds that travel the country. And I had a group from Ontario, Canada come in
a couple years. The bank nerd community.
Yes, and they'll travel all over the country in caravans to go view interesting architecture and banks of a certain era. So this group came in several years ago, and they had Ontario plates, and they came specifically to see this bank because it was on their bucket list, if you will, of old jewel box style banks that they wanted to see. And so I think what really helps is that I'm close to there's an interstate exit. You know, I don't think I could duplicate this if I were down, let's say, in southeast Iowa or someplace where I don't have access to a major population base, because as fun as it is and as great as it is to engage the local community around the Ladora area, it wouldn't survive without it being a destination location. I get people that come from Milwaukee, from Chicago, from West Des Moines, from Ames. So I really do count on those people to call ahead and make reservations and come in with groups. You'll find, especially in the summer months, the bikers, the you know, Corvette clubs, BMW, whatever club people belong to, they want to get on the road. They maybe want to drive a few hundred miles and then stop and have lunch, a bite to eat or something, and then go back. And so this makes that venue perfect for that kind of outing. I think whatever you do, if you have an old structure, you're trying to renovate it and you want to do something creative, get the local community to buy into your idea. Because I tell you, that their word of mouth means a lot. And it can go good or bad. And I'm fortunate enough that the word of mouth took off really well, and it was a good thing for the community.
But you didn't really do anything all that proactively at the start to engage the community, did you?
I didn't. The building really drew them already. I think what I did to engage them is I showed up. I was an outsider. I was not from that area. They didn't know me. I didn't have a family name. There's maybe five dominant family names in that area, and mine wasn't one of them, especially Makadunsky. No, that's not a common name out there. So, again, they were very suspect, and I think that's the way a lot of small towns are, and you have to build that rapport over time. It doesn't happen overnight.
You just stuck it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've talked about some of the logistical bones that you need to have in play for something like this to be successful. That unique structure, the highway, the destination concept, that kind of thing in place. What do you need from the local community once they've started to even just accept this? Let's take that as something that happens. They've started to accept this. What else do you need from those local folks to be successful in helping it develop into a community piece for them and not just for those passing by?
Yeah. Well, and that's a very good question. I think the thing is they have to buy in. And a lot of what I was doing out there was extremely foreign to them. The idea of a wine bar or drinking other wines other than Iowa wines. You know, some of these people, they just went down the road to the local winery in Williamsburg, Fireside Winery. That's what they knew about wine. Well, you know, there's a whole world of wine out there. So it took a lot of education. And I think one thing, too, that because it was a wine bar and the concept is much more upscale, I would say upscale casual, I had to make darn sure that when I did work with the local folks and they came in, that everybody was welcome. There was no pretension. You can't have the pretentious attitude like, well, I'm from the big city, or I know better than you, and I would scoff at what their interests were in wine or beer or food. If there was something on the menu that they couldn't pronounce, I wasn't going to belittle them because they couldn't pronounce it, because at one time or another, I probably couldn't pronounce it either.
Right.
And so I just maybe had more exposure to it, and I wanted to expose those folks to that. And what was really great is that, so in these farming communities, a lot of them are older folks, and their kids have moved on. They've moved out of they're not farming anymore. They've moved to California. They've moved to Phoenix. And the thing is now they're coming home in the summer to see their aging parents. And so when you're an 80-something and your 40, 50-something year old daughters and sons are coming home to see you in the summer with the grandkids, they'll say, hey, I want to take you over to that bistro in Ladora. And of course, there's going to be the eye roll from the daughter who lives in Phoenix or L.A. is like, oh, great, we're going to go to some little hokey, you know, venue here in town. And they are completely blown away. And I think what they're really blown away is how their parents have embraced it. and the, you know, their mother might say, well, let's get a bottle of Sangiovese and let's order that Stromboli Rosso. And it's like the daughter or son's like, what is coming out of your mouth? You know, where did you learn that? Because, you know, as locals, they've come in and they've embraced the cuisine. They've embraced trying new things. And now they kind of want to show off in front of their kids when their kids come home. And I really like to see that interaction. So that makes it a lot of fun.
Well, I can't thank you enough for doing this. I'm extremely excited about Caucus Bistro and cannot wait to see it.
Yay.
By the time we post this podcast, it should have already opened, because
yeah.
I believe your opening date was May 1st.
And May 1st, right.
Post this right after that. And so I would like to encourage a lot of folks to give this a try as well.
Yes.
And I appreciate you exploring with me how this mix of architecture and visual arts and culinary and community all adds up into a destination for both a local sect mm-hmm. of folks and for a broader group as well.
Yeah.
So with that, I got to thank you so much for your time. And as always, I want to remind folks to check out the First Friday events at Mainframe and the Third Thursday events and all the stuff that happens in between at both Mainframe Studios, Des Moines Social Club. The list goes on and on. We're really developing a strong connection to the arts here in Central Iowa. Thank you, Dimitri.